the God is alive and powerful, sharpening a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, the critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study, show yourself approved unto God, a workman that is not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Open this morning to the doctrine of angels, where we'll resume page 3, Roman numeral 4 of our notes. The local church is a classroom of Christianity. It's this environment with this academic setting that is designed for believers, and they're assembly together for the dissemination, the assimilation of the divine viewpoint of life, and the proper chain of command and the proper communicative gift, which today the extant gift is the gift of pastor-teacher. And obviously we must all be led and guided by God the Holy Spirit. This is fulfilled through His filling ministry. When our condition as believers, we're either one or two conditions, so either a state of spirituality or a state of carnality. We get in a state of carnality when we engage in personal sins. We remove that state and place ourselves under the rulership of God the Holy Spirit in a state of spirituality when we employ the rebound technique and otherwise sustain ourselves without personal sin in that condition. And this is obviously very important as we study the truth of Bible doctrine, as the Holy Spirit is the ultimate author of Scripture, and we desire His guidance, His insight, under the spiritual apparatus for perception, under the gap system, in order for us to clearly understand these things undistorted by the sin nature. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound as we start with our normal word of prayer. Father, though every man be a liar, Your word stands forever. We thank You for the truth of Your word, the revelation of it to those who are positive, who truly seek You and know and desire to know You and understand You. And we ask that that be our boast in time, and it reflects the eternal glory awaiting those who align themselves with Your word, and that God the Holy Spirit will once again this morning enlighten us to the truth and the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, reviewing here, the higher echelon of creation that God has provided before the creation of mankind and even the universe itself, and that is the order of angelic creation. And Roman numeral 4 here, we're looking at the nature of angels so that we can have some understanding in regards to their makeup and how they manifest themselves in things of this nature. Sub-point 8, Roman numeral 4, here by way of review. Angels are a category of created beings that are superior to mankind, yet inferior to God. B, their makeup or composition more closely resembles that of God in that they are incorporeal. That means they are immaterial, they're invisible, not having material body or form, but they have the ability to take a physical form. They obviously, in their state, are able to generate atoms around them or whatever to make substance, to manifest themselves in a physical way, not unlike probably the resurrected believer in their resurrection body, able to be invisible yet be tangible and physical as Jesus appeared to the disciples after His resurrection. One, angels, like God, are generally invisible, but observe the activities of mankind. They are constantly observing in a state of watching, observation. Two, for this reason, they are often referred to as spirits, since they can be invisible in this regards, and that is one of the terms used in regards to angels. Three, however, they can manifest themselves in a physical form if the occasion demands it, and mostly appear as ordinary men. Four, the exception to the temporal transformation from spiritual to material in form is the four living beings, the four living creatures that's recorded for us, revealed to us in Ezekiel chapter 1 and 10, then as we saw in Revelation 4 verses 6 through 8. 5, these angelic beings are presented as having a permanent visual form at all times, the four living beings, whether in the eternal or temporal state, which will be further discussed in the following categories of angels in the doctrine. So see, angels were created to provide a revelation to reveal of the invisible God, with each angel designed to express some aspect of God's plan or person, has some part. They are active in regards to God's plan, in regards to the angelic conflict, and each have individual roles and assignments in that regards. So D, the distinction between men and angels is one that is eternal and will be a reality in phase 3. Angels and men, while there are some similarities, obviously all have volition, but there is a distinction in regards to, if you will, race, their structure, the molecular structure, and how they are made up. That is for all eternity. But the reality is that we will be permanently in their company. We will reside with them ultimately in our eternal state, including our existence in the new heavens and new earth, as they are seen to participate in the new Jerusalem in that respect. So the distinction between men and angels is permanent, but it will be a reality in phase 3 in regards to our differences. We'll experientially get to see what they are in that regards. This indicates that men do not become angels, and angels do not become men. In other words, angels are not glorified human beings. A person does not die, go to heaven, and get his wings to become an angel. That is no more than the imagination of men, and it has no biblical support whatsoever in that regards. And the fact that we are different, yes, we will receive resurrection bodies that will be vastly different than our temporal bodies. But yet, we will remain in the human class. So if all angels in the Bible are masculine, again, the imaginations of men may propose otherwise. There is no baby or female angels that are depicted in the scripture. They do not marry or procreate. It is their domain sexually to be celibate. They're all males, and there is no increase in their numbers. The number of angels that God created at some time in eternity past is a fixed number, and they are not propagating their race as the humans do through procreation otherwise. And God is not further creating more angels by any indication in regards to the scriptures. So one, it is erroneous to state that angels are sexless, however, in this respect, even though they're celibate. Since all manifestations of angels are male in the masculine gender as they are presented, and we see the example that they did procreate at one time with women in the human race, specifically the category of fallen angels, pre-diluvian periods, who left their domain and under satanic attack attempted to wipe out a true, pure human race by producing half-angelic, half-human beings. And God came in and overruled and wiped them out in the flood, and otherwise removed those particular demons from any further participation and freedom of operation on this planet, as Satan and the other demons have retained that freedom, and they are incarcerated in deducing that they are probably the demon locus recorded in the book of Revelation. They will be let go for a little while during Daniel's 70th week to wreak havoc and pain on humanity otherwise. So God overruled. They no longer have the ability to interfere with the human race on their part in that vein. So two, angels were created to be celibate. And in faith three, we will be like them in that we will retain our gender, but will be celibate also, as we saw in regards to Jesus' teaching with respect to marriage and resurrection. In our resurrection bodies, there will be no marriage of human beings. We too will be celibate. The difference is we will, as male and female, retain our sexual identification in that regards, rather than all being male as the angelic host is. So G, the point we left off at, angels are personal beings and not simply spiritual forces, transient or permanent emanations from God, or anything less than we would expect from anyone that is possessed of personality. They are real individuals. One, this is seen in the fact that they possess volition, as we, the human race, all possess volition, free will. Luke 11, 24. In regards to the example of demon activity, Christ teaches when the unclean spirit goes out of a man who had originally possessed his body, an unbeliever, it passes through waterless places seeking rest. It appears that demons like the dry, arid habitat and environment of our planet. Out there in Monument Valley, they can have all the air dryness they want right now, as temperatures are soaring all over the place in the West. Heard Death Valley missed the record mark of heat by like 6 degrees, 127 degrees. The weather lady was there at the coolest time of the day, right before sunrise, and they had their thermometer up 97 degrees. Then you get up here in Cleveland, Ohio, on a morning like this and go, it does not get any better. But they like dry, obviously arid type of situations, and not finding any, continuing here with the verse for our point, it says, it makes a decision, so hence it has freedom of choice. I will return to my house from which I came. In other words, every turn in possession of the individual. Then Jude 6. In regards to the angels who violated the rules, God's rules and guidelines of celibacy and left their domain, as recorded for us in Genesis, and angels who do not keep their own domain, but abandon their proper abode. They had the freedom to rebel and go against God's law, if you will, of celibacy. And hence, they have freedom of choice. God allowed this and permitted it temporarily under His permissive will. And these He has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Again, reference to their particular role in the tribulational period. Two, they have intellect, high intellect. Obviously, no telling how long they've been around. Their frame of reference of information is far superior to anything that we have in our human race, in spite of the arrogance of how intellectually superior we may think we are. Matthew 28:5. In regards to the resurrection of Christ, with respect to the one of the angels that was there at the tomb guarding it. And the angel responded and said to the women that were there, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified." As inside, he knew exactly what they were doing. Was easily able to deduce that as they observe and see things going on in a perspective broader than we can imagine. "He is not here, for he is risen, just as he said, come see the place where he was lying." Ephesians 3:10. Paul, as a communicator of doctrine, as one of the 12 apostles, in his ministry and under his gift, verse 8, "To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to proclaim to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ." That looks at all doctrine centering on Christ and truly the riches that it holds for those who will align themselves with it, both phase 1 and phase 2. "And to bring to light what is the dispensation," translated administration in the New American Standard, "of the mystery," that's the church age, "which for ages has been hidden in God." Doctrine centering on the church age, any revelation of it in the Old Testament is essentially moot, apart from the fact that there would be a nation that would take the place of Israel during this parenthetical removal of dispensational privilege. But apart from that, all the doctrine that we know and understand regarding the church age was new doctrine that presented at the beginning of this dispensation and through the particular gifts early in the church, such as apostle, that was taught. These things were given and enlightened to men in that respect. "They were hidden in God who created all things," verse 10, "in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenlies." So it is new information that actually even the angelic host was not privy to. I guess God can keep a secret. And when he determined to reveal it, they were all ears. And they continued to learn in regards to God's plan, watching it unfold in that respect. So the fact that they continue to learn looks to the fact they have brain computers, they have intellect. 1 Peter 1:12. Along the same line, the Old Testament prophets, searching out the Old Testament scriptures, define what they could, glean from it what they could in regards to this dispensation that would replace theirs as they are on spiritual hiatus. And it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, that's the nation church, recognizing that positive volition literally stands on the shoulders of positive volition before them. They recognize that even though there are certain aspects of doctrine that is not, if you will, particularly relevant to them in fulfilling their own lives under God's plan, in spite of the fact that they did or was not revealed this information, they understood, however, that by being positive themselves, by fulfilling God's plan for themselves, they were perpetuating God's plan to be handed off to this generation of positive believers that would manifest themselves. And hence, they were in service to them providing all that is necessary, teaching doctrine at their time in history, as it's centered on the person of Jesus Christ, etc. But you, they were not serving themselves, but you in these things which now have been announced to you through those who proclaim the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit, sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Again, the angelic host has great desire to glean doctrine, and part of their learning curve, believe it or not, comes through the application of positive human beings. And they, too, learn doctrine based on the positive volition of others. And obviously, as we have been stating, when the church came along, a lot of new doctrine came to bear. Even today, in the last days, as there are discerning interpreters who have figured out certain prophecies based on the fact that they live in a time in history where they can figure out certain prophecies, identifications of certain entities, figures, things of this nature.